Going to lead us out on just a quick prayer. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you for allowing us to be here in your house, Father. Yes. Thank you for just allowing all the hearts to speak in this room, Father. Continue to work on them as well as me. Continue to help us to move forward towards you, Father. May you bless us with this word tonight. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so the topic today is breaking strongholds. So have a few notes here. As believers, we all have an enemy. The enemy is not our friends, relatives, co-workers, feelings, etc. Start off with a scripture. Ephesians 6:12. Should have been prepared for this one.
Easy way to read.
Yeah, I'm gonna have some. You want? Yep. Ephesians 6:12. Things at the bottom starting down here.
Okay. Yeah. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms.
Amen. For the struggle is not against our flesh and blood, but against... So, like, the enemy is always out there lurking, seeking who we may devour. That's what the Bible calls it. So, at times, the enemy is not our job, friends, relatives. It's always something more than that. It's more of a spiritual thing that we can't really always see. And the enemy works in and through people. It reminds me of a story with Peter. When Peter was on Jesus' team, he was a good friend of him, disciple. He was his mentor, his Lord. And... it says, remember when Peter resisted Jesus' decision to return to Jerusalem. Jesus knew he was going to go to Jerusalem, and he knew he was going to be crucified and tortured and whatnot. Jesus did not rebuke Peter, but turned to Peter and rebuked Satan. He said, get behind me, Satan. Peter wasn't demon-possessed and probably didn't intend to be an offense. The devil inspired Peter's statement, and Jesus went after the real source. So a lot of times, you know, it's something always behind something. Not the boss, not the halfway house, not the house arrest, not family or et cetera. It's something behind it that at times we don't see a lot, so we kind of don't know, like, how to fight it, I would say. You know, another story someone shared with me, I read, there was, like, back in the day, the Indians were fighting somebody with some horses and guns and all that. They never really seen horses with armor and all this. True story, a long time ago. So when they came to fight the Indians seen this creature running at them and a little guy up front. So immediately what they did was aim for the horses. They was aiming for the horses and not knowing that the true enemy was up on top. The horses was just like almost like an illusion. You know, they thought that was the true enemy. And they got close enough when they spent all their ammunition on the horses. And when the guys got off, they start shooting them all. They gunned them all down. They didn't realize that the target was on top. It, you know, so they were missing. That's what I say with a lot of us in times. Like the devil want to cause like an illusion or a distraction where we're focused on so much on this and there's something more than that we ain't really thinking outside the box. That's all we know. It's like, no, that I never seen that before. I never dealt with that before. I never heard that before. So it must be coming from that source. The horse is running. Yeah, it's that. But really it's something behind, on top of it, that's guiding, is using it as a puppy almost. And that's like the enemy that we fight with spiritually. So it's always good to like to go into prayer and ask for discernment. So that's where that scripture relates to, that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Matthew 6:14. Now this talks about unforgiveness, like a stronghold of unforgiveness. You want to read that, Brother Lyle?
Yep. Give me 1 second.
What was the scripture?
Matthew 6:14. Mm-hmm. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you.
Continue.
You going?
Yeah.
Okay. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins.
That's good. So said the side note here says forgiveness means to give up the desire to get even. When we think about this in a relation to the number of times we have disobeyed God and he still grants us forgiveness. Mm-hmm. when we realize that any pain we have suffered from another person is small compared to our own sin against God. Our need to forgive is to put into proper perspective. Another one's grief of disappointment, of past, of failures, of defeat. It says a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bone. This one's on addiction. It says in 1 Peter 2:11, abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your own soul. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, do you not know that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. That's on addiction and whatever we might be battling with, to always bring that to mind. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. This scripture, I actually hung up on my wall at times, and it helped me a whole lot to bring forth a remembrance, you know, that I'm not of my own, you know, and the things that I do, I should do to honor God, you know, a remembrance of who I surrendered to, who I gave my life to. So it's always a reminder for me that it's no longer I who live, but Christ, you know, and what he's done for me. That's who I should live for, and that's how I should react. That's how I should talk. Not about how Jose feels or how Jose got offended, and I want to offend somebody back. The devil's primary strategy is to disguise his activities so that it appears that someone or something else is to blame. How we fight. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Jesus said, I give you authority to trample over scorpions and serpents and over all the power of the enemy. So we always got to remember who we are. Remember God's word that he's giving you that ultimate power, that authority to trample over scorpions and serpents, all the power of the enemy. In my mind, the power of the enemy is worry, fear, and doubt. Like he uses those tactics at us individually to cause us to be at like a pause or a hindrance. A lot of people said fear. So remembering, that's how we fight. That we have that authority. And it's not necessarily us, but it's just what's been given to us. So we always got to remember, like, it's like a police officer. It's not actually the individual, the James or whatever his name is. It's that badge that's giving them that authority. It ain't the person. And that's how it is with us. You know, the authority comes from Jesus, that he gave us that authority and that power. It doesn't come from us. Because without that badge on that police officer, he's just a normal person. Same thing with us. We got to remember that it's not of our own strength, that he's given us that power and that ability to overcome and to cast down things. And then the last was the armor of God. He talks to us about armor. Let us all armor ourselves up, you know, remind us who we are. Put on truth. Put on the good news on your feet. Gird yourself up. And last but not least, always picking up your sword, trying to remember scripture. Scripture helped me in so many areas of my life. That I continue to, me personally, I feel like you have to memorize it. So as I memorize scripture, I coach myself, do certain things. Somebody said something that's mean to me, disrespectful, immediately, my scripture right now, kind of, it says a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word will stir up anger. If I say something bad, it's gonna stir up some things. It's going to take me to somewhere that I don't want to go. So a soft answer turns away wrath. Remember that. Hold your tongue. Be patient. The righteous studies how to answer. Don't have loose lips. Be patient. Those scriptures come to my mind to hold me back in my anger. You know, repay no one evil for evil. No tick for tack. But have regard for good things in the sight of everybody. It's not you who I'm fighting against. You know, you're going through something, or the enemy's trying to use you to do something to me, or something like he did with Peter. Say, get behind me, Satan. You know, he's seen through it. You know, he didn't take it personal. Oh, Peter, why you say that? Why you disrespect me like that? You know, he seemed beyond that, and Jesus seemed beyond a lot of things, spiritual things. You know, even when they were killing them, you know, and other disciples, like they were murdering them, torturing them. his heart was so humble. He seen so much past the flesh in this world. He said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I was like, wow, that's so powerful that he knew his true enemy and it wasn't you. He said, I love you guys. You know what I mean? But Satan's using y'all like them dudes were using that horse. It ain't the horse. You know what I mean? He loved the horse. The horse, the Indians, I'm sure, would have loved the horse too. It wasn't the horse. It's the people on the horse. And that's how he looks at us. It ain't you. You know? He said, I see the true enemy that's working in and through you. And he wants to encourage us all to abandon that, abandon those thoughts, abandon Satan. And that's what Jesus did when Satan even approached Jesus to himself, he used the scripture. Mm-hmm. He used the scripture. He said, you hungry, Jesus? You know, you got emotions. I know you've been fasting. I'm sure you feel hungry. He said, you got the ability to turn that stone to some food. And he said, man must not live off bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Yep. That's what Jesus came back with him. Then he tempted them like, well, financial gains, I give you all this. Because they say that the devil is like the god of this world, with a small g, the god of this world. And he said, I give you all this. And he said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And he told him, finally, he told him, get behind me, Satan. No, enough's enough. But he did come with him with the word. So I feel like Jesus is an example for us to try your best to learn the word. It's not easy. When I first became a Christian, I didn't understand. I was like, I learned, I think, one scripture in like a year. And I was around some good brothers in prison. Like, how in the world do y'all do that? Like, I don't understand. I'm not educated. I didn't pass eighth grade. Like, I don't understand. And I started praying about it. And a lot of times I feel like when people push my buttons or challenge me, and even y'all, that's when y'all kind of step it up. They call you like, what is that called? Like constructive criticism. Mm-hmm. You know, you kind of get mad and upset, but sometimes they'll take you to another level. And that's what that, the head dude, he did. He was like this. It was like four of us. And he was like, everybody come in with a scripture tomorrow. You know, I need some energy, some good words and stuff. And then he called me out in front of everybody. He was like, yo, Soto, it's like, don't come back with that one scripture that you always use. And I took that personal. Like, I was like, man, he just embarrassed me, but he was being real. Like, cause that's all I knew. So in my mind, I thank God for that because it triggered something in me. I was like, okay. I was like, you know, there's 31 Proverbs. I was like, I'm gonna have a word for the day every day. I'm gonna try to remember one a day. And I took baby steps, but I made it a goal. You know what I mean? I was like, I got something to prove. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, you know, I'm not this eighth kid. You know, I'm smart. I'm sure I could do it if I put my mind to it. And I did it. That was a profound moment that month, because after that, I memorized 31 Proverbs. I kicked it up to 3 a day. And then I also remembered where they were located at. So I was up to 90-something Proverbs that I memorized. But I remember King Solomon gave me a lot of encouragement, because they said he knew, what, thousands of parables or quotes or something like that. So my 100 wasn't nothing compared to Yeah, but it's still, you know, it was still a blessing, that constructive criticism to get us out of our comfort zone. But that's all I want to share on that stronghold. And I feel like testimonies are very powerful. So there's a couple of testimonies that I was just reflecting on as I came here that I just wanted to share. Let's start with the last first. Let's start with a nephew of mine. So a nephew of mine is involved in the streets from a young age. I felt bad for him for a while. I always prayed for him. His dad was involved in the streets with me, so he kind of grew up in that era for a while. But rap music, all that. And as he got older, I think he's like 18, 19 years old, maybe about 16, started getting involved with guns. He just starts following the same path that we were going. Without us even doing it, he's already doing that. And not really believing in God. He was like, man, I don't, you know, just corrupted with the music, you know, all the Chicago music, the trap music, all that, and disrespecting people. A lot of things ended up happening. He had people looking for him. He was doing bad things with guns, and they were doing it back to him. He ended up getting shot at recently, maybe a couple weeks ago. And the bullet went through like his leg, ended up in his spine. It went through the intestines and all that. And the doctors called my parents and everybody, and I was like, is he all right? They was like, no, he's not moving. Anyway, it's a little scary situation. I just prayed. I remember praying. I was like, God, you know what? I'm not even praying for his, like, life or recovery, but I pray for his soul. You know what I mean? Like, that's my prayer, God. Even if you're taking it, if you don't, like, I pray for his soul. He got to the hospital. I was out of town. My wife got there, and she was crying hysterically. She was like, the doctor said it's not looking good. They can't stop the bleeding. They don't know where he's bleeding from. It's somewhere internal. To cut the story a little short, he made it. He recovered from it. They stopped the bleeding. They cut out a testing. They tied that. His main artery in his leg, they had to cut it and tie it. So he had to swell up for another day. And then the next day he went back into surgery because that's what saved him. They had to stop the bleeding. And then they kind of got it back together and somewhat. So that was a blessing. But what was truly inspiring to me that night, you know, when she called me and was like, I don't think he's going to make it, the doctor said. I was like, man, they're going to want me to speak at the funeral. I'm the only, you know what I mean? Out the family, they always want me to speak. I was like, but I can't come up here and say, this kid was a good kid. It's my nephew. It's my flesh and blood. Like, I can't, you know, I can't be up here lying. But I felt bad, like, what I'm going to say, you know. So I thought about that. And I was just like, I don't know. But the thing that I liked about it so much and was so profound that he called me like 2 days later. He said, I want to thank you for all your prayers and everything. He was like, I want to tell you what happened. He was like, when I was like losing it in a hospital, when I was losing all the blood. So the blood, I guess he lost the majority of his blood. They had to do some kind of like blood infusion to keep him going because he was losing so much blood as they were doing surgery and whatnot. But he said as he was like blacking out and he starts feeling like a darkness, he said at that moment, Jose, he was like, I felt God was real. And he said that was the first time he prayed. He was like, God saved my life. He was like, I'm sorry for everything I ever did, you know. And he prayed to God. And I was like, you know, it was so amazing to me that if he would have died, I would have never knew that. Because only from him living through it, he was able to tell me. So I literally wouldn't have thought that he got saved. You know what I mean? But that just shows me how powerful God works. You know, like the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And my mom always prayed for the boys, and she still does. She prayed for me. But I just thought that, like, man, that's so crazy how you could think something about somebody and you never know, you know, what God has for that person. I would have never knew. So I just thought I wanted to share that because that happened a couple weeks ago. So I thought that was a very powerful testimony for anybody that lost a loved one. You never know who they're going to call out to or their last words. That's just a little encouragement. My next one would be, all these took place within the last month. This is just a couple of testimonies. So that one. The next one, let's see, trailers. Okay, I got into the trucking industry when I came home from prison, did 5 years fed, 5 years federal probation. My father drove a truck, introduced me to it, changed my ways, got in it, started my own trucking, started with one truck, saved up my money. We fixed the old 98 Freightliner up, saved up like $8,000 working at Fleetwood. It took me about a year. Now I'm up to like 5 trucks. But one thing happened I want to share. It's very awesome. So we've been looking for refrigerated trailers, and they've been selling like crazy. I've been looking at the paper. Everything's been selling trailers like crazy. You can't get them too often. And I found the closest one I found was in Spencerville, Indiana. So I was going to go look at that. And they're all pricey at that. But an email came and said there was going to be a trailer. And I was in Indianapolis. It was going to have it next week or so. They were going to have it. And I was like, man, I feel like this is God calling. Like, that's close. Indianapolis, you know. So I emailed him. He was like, yeah, the trailer will be here next week. I was like, cool. He was like, it's in Fort Wayne right now. I was like, wow, well, I live in Fort Wayne. Can I go look at it by chance? You know, he was like, yes, at the auction. Go ahead, take a look at it. So I went over there. I was like, man, I like it. And they had it was a good, decent price, you know? And I was like, man, I like it, man. I was like, you know, I feel like, you know, in my mind, I'm like, man, God bless me. It's right here at home, you know? I call him up and he was like, oh, we can't sell it. They won't let us sell it because the dude put it in the auction and the auction's Wednesday. So it has to run through the auction. I'm like, man, here we go. I just went to the auction a month ago, and we didn't buy a trailer. They had like 4 of them up, and they all sold for higher than what they're worth because now at the Indiana auction here, they got online bidding. So now, if there's like 10 of us here waiting for that trailer, you got all Alabama, New York, Florida, they're all bidding online for this same trailer. I'm like, wow, that's unbelievable. It's like, you ain't never gonna find nothing. So when I went, they sold all the trailers for like a lot more than they were worth because they're fighting for the trailer. So I was like, all right, we'll try our luck again. I told my dad to go to the auction, and he went. And I didn't have no high hopes or nothing. And he went, and the most a miracle thing happened, man, because he went, the first trailer went up, and he started bidding. It wasn't the trailer we wanted. It was a different one. He started bidding from some guy from Alabama. My dad bid. He went higher. And then the most miracle thing happened. It was such a blessing that the internet went down. The internet literally went down. Unbelievable. So my dad was the last one to bid, and they couldn't, it was done. So he was like, sold. And then what was a blessing that another trailer came up, and the same thing, nobody bidded on it. And that one got sold, and then the third one was the one we were looking at. That got sold like half the price what the guy wanted, and we took off with that one. And then literally 5 minutes later, so I bought three refrigerated trailers my father purchased. 5 minutes later, the internet came back on.
Praise God.
No lie. It's crazy, like, because I've been looking for all these trailers. Like, my dad said, all right, there's some in the valley. That's by Mexico. He was like, I'll be going down there. I was like, well, I'm going to Florida. So I'm taking screenshots of truck paper. We're trying to find this thing. And I got blessed and got three of them right here in Fort Wayne. Wow. I was like, and then the internet went, I was just like, man, come on, man. Like, you can't think of stuff like that. Yeah. Not even me. I would have never thought the internet went down. It went down. Yeah, so I just wanted to share that. That happened about 2-3 weeks ago. Wow. Yeah, at the Indiana auction. Yeah, on 30. So I thought I would share that.
One.
Huh?
You were just looking for one.
Yeah. Yep. Then got three. Yep. Man. Yeah. Oh yeah. No doubt. Yeah.
I'm right.
So let's see. I got two more small testimonies. Oh, let's go with the one that happened last night. A young man in the street. His girlfriend goes to church with us. They're about 19 years old. She always been telling him to come talk to me, this and this. He finally came over. I met him, introduced. He asked some tough questions. A little background on this kid. He just got hit with a strong arm robbery last week. Ended up robbing an informant.
Oh my.
So he needed some money. But before that, he got caught with about a month ago, caught like a Draco or something type of gun, and ended up shooting himself on accident in a foot. So he was carrying around strap. The kid is pretty active. I could just tell by his demeanor. I've been around people like that. He's pretty active. So he went through that, and he needed money. He was gonna sell the gun. So he's just all over the place. They wanted that gun for a murder charge, some kind of murder charge, and he's involved with the investigation. So he's going through a lot. So he's going to court soon and stuff like that for that robbery and all that. This just happened, like I said, last week. So he come and talk to me. He's in a wheelchair because of his leg, and he messed it up more because when he robbed the CI, cops swooped on him, jumped out, took off running with the brace on. He shot himself in the mess up his Achilles a couple weeks ago. So he messed it up more trying to run. But tough questions, man. He had a lot of questions. He don't really believe in God. So I'm just going to shoot a couple questions out that he asked me and then my response to that. But I gave my testimony. I don't have a lot of time to talk about that, but I gave my testimony. And the thing that let me try to remember. One thing he said, that how do you know that it is God, you know what I mean, that doing these things in your life and not you, you know? I was like, that's a good question. You know, like, he's like, how do you know that, you know? And my first, and even my answer today would be like, something that I could never fulfill and get, like money and women, all this instant gratification that came to me and cars and all that, I still didn't feel the something that what he gave me. When he came into my life and he touched me, it was like a joy and something that is beyond like my understanding. Like, I never felt like that. I was never an emotional person. And when he touched me, I was like, I never felt like that. Nothing ever could bring me that. Nothing. I never felt that way before. I never felt that fulfillment ever in my life. And when his presence came upon me and continues to come upon me, I have nothing to do with it. Like, I just like it, it to me, that's God. And me reading this word is verification. Like, this is who's doing this to me. It's this man right here. It's not me. So that was my answer. You know what I mean? Like, it, the way the stuff that he's presented to me is not on my own, because I walked my way and I never felt like this ever. And my mom couldn't give me this type of love. My dad, nobody, girls, nobody, fulfill me the way he's fulfilling me even to this day. I can't explain it. I was like, so I salute him for that. And also, he changed me. Like, no one, my mom prayed for me since I was 14 years old till I was 26. So I did fed time. And no one could get to me, not even myself. I was like, I'm going to die this way. This is what I want. This is what it is. And for someone to change my perspective like that, I had counselors talk to me, Christians, pastors, nobody changed me. But for him, to his word to renew me, like, to me, that's my miracle. You know, like, I can't even believe it. I was like, because I was so engaged in what I believe and what I wanted. And for him to turn that, like, literally turn my desires in my heart, I was like, that's a miracle in itself. But that's what his word could do. And that's what his word did to me. So that was my answer for him in that. His next question was like, I feel like, you know, the pastor is trying to hypnotize all y'all, you know, and tell y'all about this heaven. That's all y'all want to do is get to heaven. And without that, half of y'all probably wouldn't even follow him or go, or just like that was his question. He said, I feel like God's a dictator. You know, like, okay, you don't want to go this way into heaven? Now here you go, you're going to hell. He's like, he's forcing it on me. You know what I mean? Why? I don't like that, he said. So I told him, I was like, how I feel today. See, I feel like hell is like without God's presence. You know, that's one part of it. You know what I mean? That's a big part of it, without his presence. And like heaven is his presence. And I felt like now since I've been saved, like just that alone, that his presence, that he's been with me and completed me and the way I feel and everything he's just like, different me, not financially, just like how he completed me, that alone, I still will serve him, even if there's no afterworld. Just that his presence alone, I will serve him. So we could take heaven and hell out the equation. I will still, this is who I am today, and this is who I'm going to be. And I truly like to believe and think that I would lay my life down for this man. And that was my answer for that, without heaven or hell. Another question that he asked, let me see. He had a lot of questions. I'm going to give you some feedback, just like some stuff that I was telling him about halfway. There's no such thing as halfway crooks. I'm sure you heard of that song back in the day. Yeah. So basically, there ain't no half-stepping. You're in or out. And I said, you gave God a try before, but you haven't went all the way. And I said, like, it's the same thing. It's not, and let's go back to the dictatorship. I was like, it's not no heaven or hell. It's just being real. He's a God of order. So, like me, I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm not God. If you go legit, you're probably going to get a lot of blessings. Not a lot of bad things are going to happen to you, bro. You get into the trucking game, you know. But if you go to the streets, you're going to set yourself up for destruction. And I bet 90% of the chance you're about to get in trouble, you're going to get locked up. There's a lot of, like, hell, per se. And there's a lot of, like, heaven over here. And I ain't God, but I'm just going to tell you what it is. So basically, it's up to you. It's your decision. It ain't no dictator involved. It's your decision. It's your free will. So that's how I kind of like answered that as well, about the heaven or hell, how God is giving us the opportunity. You know, you pick. And I told him, and you can't hash that, because if any, I always thought about John Gotti. I always wanted to be like the mafia back then, trying to set my family up, trying to do, you know. But John Gotti and all of them, and a lot of people that are doing illegal stuff, they always try to do some positive legal stuff, but you can't do both. Eventually, this illegal stuff's going to catch up to you, and you're going to lose everything. That's what happened with John Gotti and the mafia. They were trying to do legit business, but they couldn't let this go.
Can't serve two masters.
No, they couldn't let it go. And what happened, doing life in prison, and everybody started telling, no love. All darkness revealed itself, and it destroyed the whole thing. And I said, that's like God. You know what I mean? Like, you can't, if you play basketball or something, you can't come dribble over here, shoot and come over here. No, he's like, man, what side are you on?
Pick a basket.
Yeah, what side are you on? He said, man, I'd rather you be, you know, you want to be hot over here, red, or cold, blue team, what you want? Because you can't be in the middle. Because if you look one, he said, I'll spit you out.
Right.
He's like, it's one or the other. So I told him, like, you really got to pick what you want. And don't give up. I said, like, if I give you the CDL permit book, don't think I give you this permit. Because he said, how do I get my CDLs? I said, you got to study this permit book, and then you go and you take the test. That's going to help you financially, but you got to stick with it. This Bible, same thing. Take it, start reading it, start with the book of John. It's going to help you spiritually. But I'm going to tell you about both books. Once you give up, if you start having this vision, this high hope of I'm about to be a millionaire, I'm about to be a truck driver, I'm going to make this money, I'm going to have all this trucks. I was like, don't make it so calm. Don't think so far ahead, because a lot of people that give you this book and they go fail that general knowledge test, the permanent part, and they start feeling defeated. That they give up. I was like, once you give up with that, you throw that book down, believe me, you ain't going to see nothing in the truck industry. You don't shut that door. You didn't take the first step. You let failure hit you right there, and that was it. Same thing with the Word of God. You start reading it, and then you get locked up. Man, see, you ain't going to get no blessings. You put that book down, you shut that door, same thing. Either way, spiritual, financial. Once you shut it, it's done. Don't expect all those blessings. Don't expect the trucking, money, none of that. You close that door. You did it to yourself, I told him. So I was like, you got to, once you go in, you got to be patient and you got to keep working it. You know what I mean? With the Word of God, even if you don't understand it with a CDL book, you're not going to understand it. You're not going to understand these air brakes and combination and these valves, all this stuff. Yeah, I don't expect you to. I don't expect you to read the Bible and start understanding everything either. It's a process, just like everything. But don't give up. You just got to continue to go with it and you'll reap it. You know, because God said a law, he said, whatever you sow, you'll reap. But in due time, he said, let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due time, you'll reap what? If you don't lose heart, don't give up. You shut that CDL book, you're done. You shut the Bible, you're done. Now you're going to try to do it on your own. And don't have this mindset of reading a Bible or something and things don't go your way. And the same thing with the CDL permit. I told you, you read this, man, I answered it like this. And they said I was wrong. They don't know what they're talking about. I heard that before. I'm like, maybe you was wrong. Maybe you was. You know what I mean? Don't have that pessimistic attitude, that negative attitude with the permit book or with the Bible. Man, I've been trying this and God didn't bless me. Don't give up, man. You might be wrong. That's what I told you. You might be wrong. What other things I want to, man, I just share so much with this young man. And one thing that I liked about the whole conversation, he looked at me, he was like, I'm going to share this with y'all. He was like, one thing I don't like about Christians either, and derails me from y'all. He was like, y'all always say, God did this, God did that, God. And I was like, I agree with you. I was like, a lot of Christians do say that, you know what I mean? And I don't agree. My dad put something in my head before. He was like, they always blaming God or the devil. A lot of them always do. I was like, you're right. They do that. I ain't gonna lie. And he was like, what about you? I was like, a lot of it is you too. You know, most of it. It ain't like, even I said, man, God was a man of war, you know? And I remember back in the day, he told these people, he gave them the land. He's like, I give you this land. Now go get it. Now they went and they was like, there's some big dudes over there, this and this. So we ain't gonna go. But God didn't say he was just gonna hand things in their lap back then or now. So God does provide us opportunity and stuff, but a lot has to do with you too, because those dudes, they had to go fight, and I'm sure they lost lives, but they put blood and sweat. They really literally had to fight and kill to get, but God said, I give you the victory. I give you the promise. It's yours, but you have to get it. So I told the young man, you know, but a lot of people say God gave it to me. He handed it over. No, he don't do that. He don't probably do that a lot of times. You know what I mean? Or something bad happens and they say, oh, God did it. And I told this young man, I bet you God look at it sometimes like, man, I had nothing to do with that. Like, don't look at me. They're trying to, you know, and that could be for good or bad. You know, oh, God gave it to me. And then something happened, God took it away. And God probably like, man, I didn't do either one of those. Like, you know, you reaping what you sow, you know, but always remember, you know, if you, Andy, plant apples, you're going to get apples. But God's the only one that get the increase. You can't make it grow. So God has a part to do in everything. You know what I mean? But you the one that actually planted it. You putting your work in. And I also told the young man, it's like a lot of times God, he used that parable. It stuck with me. He said, he asked, you know, acknowledge God, ask him. He said, ask and it shall be given to you. Okay, I want that land, or I want a wife, I want a job. Okay. But then he don't just like throw it like a magical appear. God gave me this. Because right after that, what does he say? He said, you seek. And what? And you'll find. You seek. Action word. Seek. I'm not going to hand you nothing. You know, you ask me, oh, wait, cool. You seek. Then right after that, oh, you found a job? You was looking? Oh, you found a girl that you kind of like? You seek her? You see her? You like that? Okay. Knock, he said. Another action word. And see if the door will be open. He ain't saying, you know what I mean? He put, you do it. You do it. Yeah, but so I told the kid that, you know, that there's actions. Yeah, you had a lot to do with it, but God's the ultimate kind of like opening, giving that opportunity. And then I told him another thing. I was like, if we involve a dope or whatnot, I put you on, or I put you on in the trucking game, and I'm teaching you everything. You doing it. You elevate yourself, or you run this city in the dope game, whatever, or the trucking industry, but you have to acknowledge me that I did put you on and create the opportunity for you.
Right.
Don't say I didn't have nothing to do with it. I had a lot to do with it too. And that's how I feel with God. He has a lot to do. He provided that opportunity. Because without me telling you about the trucking, you might, or teaching, you probably wouldn't know half of it, or the game or whatever. So I told him, you have to acknowledge, but I do agree with you that a lot of people say, God did this, God gave me this, God took this away. And one thing at the end of the whole thing, he was like, I ain't never heard it that way. He said, I never heard it ever in my life that way. He said, so he was really engaging. He's like, I'm listening to everything you're saying. He was really engaging. So I thought that was very unique how God, and I ask God for wisdom every day, how I go about planting seeds and stuff. And one more thing I'll share about, let's change the topic. I got 2 minutes. Something that happened today. My wife, she has a child by man, and his father got murdered years ago. And his father was a truck driver, and he always wanted to own his own truck. He never had that ability. And then he always worked as a truck driver. That was his dream. And he used to tell his son that before he got murdered. His son's about 35 right now. And his son wanted that. You know, his son would talk about that. And I'm going to share the scripture that I sent to him, that his son today. One moment. In Habakkuk 2:3-4. It said, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, and it will not tarry. And today, he was blessed and fortunate enough, he got him a truck today. And he was so thankful. He called his daughter, which is my stepdaughter. He said, this is for Grandpa. He said, this was Grandpa's dream and his vision. He said, and I made it happen today. And he got his truck. But that was touching to me. Like, man, like, look at this young man trying to do the right thing, fighting, working, you know, and to not do only something for him, but something that his dad wanted, you know, and his dad got murdered and was not able to accomplish that. And his son did it for him. So I just wanted to share that one. That actually happened today. So all these testimonies, like I said, over the month, just to give y'all some encouragement in some kind of way that God's still working. You know what I mean? In and through people. If he's doing it for these people, he could definitely do it for y'all and for me. So God has no favoritism upon anybody. He said, acknowledge me in all my way, in your ways, and he will direct your path. You know, if you ask for forgiveness, he said, I am just and I will forgive you. Yes. And it's not because of what y'all did, but it's because of what his son did. So if you acknowledge that the son, you know what I mean, that the son is like the lawyer or whatnot going behalf of God and taking your spot. You know what I mean? It's not necessarily you. It's the favor that lawyer got with that judge. Like, man, you know, pardon him. Pardon him. That's what Jesus do. Pardon him. It ain't nothing about you. It's the favor that lawyer got and what the lawyer did for that judge. Like he showed him love. That's Jesus. You know what I mean? So it's not what you do. All you have to do is ask that lawyer, you know what I mean, for forgiveness. And he is just and right saying to forgive any of us. That's all he wants us to do is to forgive and to follow him and follow, do the right thing. And then all these things will be able to be accomplished. But I want to end this with, Lyle, you want to end this with a prayer? But thank y'all for having me and allowing me to speak. Yeah.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the word that went forth tonight, Father. Help us to hide that word in our hearts, Father. We might not sin against you, Lord. Ask, Lord, that you guard our hearts and minds against the wild enemy. Let our home be in peace when we get there, Lord, and continue to let your grace and your mercy abound in our lives. And Father, we will be careful to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.